Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, 9-7-1 last week. So winning week after a tough few weeks for sure. Still below 500, four games below 500, 54-58-4 on the season. But we got a long way to go, and I'm 1-0 already this weekend. Gave out the Jets last night, minus the two. No games tonight in college. Let's go to tomorrow, where Syracuse is hosting Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's played really good football. You loved Virginia Tech, Denton, before the season started. And the truth is they've really started to play excellent football. They're 5-3. They've got a three-game win streak. It should be four in a row. That game that they lost to Miami was an absolute travesty in terms of that, you know, Hail Mary last play call that should have absolutely been a score, should not have been overturned anyway, and they'd be on a four-game win streak. The game they're going to really be upset about is that loss to Rutgers at home, you know, towards the end of September. The loss to Vanderbilt certainly doesn't look bad in week one. Virginia Tech's playing well. They've beaten, you know, handily Stanford, BC, and Georgia Tech the last 3 weeks. Syracuse got demolished last week at Pitt. But after a three-game road trip, they are back home. They're catching four against Virginia Tech. The public really likes the Hokies right now and what they're doing. I'll take Syracuse plus the four at home against Tech. Here's a line that just doesn't make sense. Minnesota looked impressive last week beating Maryland. Okay, I mean, the game was never a game. The Terps lost 48-23. That was their follow-up to the USC win. Minnesota must be decent, Denton. They're favored at 24th-ranked Illinois. They're a three-point favorite. I actually like Brett Bielema. I like Illinois. But I had Oregon last week giving the big number, and they covered against Illinois. The odds makers clearly do not like Illinois. They do not think that they are as good as their record indicates. They are 6-2. Minnesota is 5-3. They've won three in a row. One of those wins was against USC at home, but USC is not good. And the other two were at UCLA. They stink. And Maryland, who's not that good. So this is a weird, weird line. Minnesota favored. No injuries are driving this. Minnesota's a three-point favorite in Champaign-Urbana. That would be the home of the Fighting Illini. I'll take Minnesota and lay the three because everybody's on Illinois. Here's another strange line, Denton. What do you know what the Auburn-Vanderbilt line is?
I do not. I haven't looked at it yet.
What do you think the Auburn-Vanderbilt line should be?
What it should be is it's at Vanderbilt.
It's at Auburn.
Right? It's at Auburn. I would say then it would be Auburn minus 2.5.
They're a 7.5-point favorite over Vanderbilt.
Whoa.
The team that beat Alabama, that lost by 3 to Texas last week, that's having a great season. We both love Diego Pavia, the quarterback of Vanderbilt. Auburn is not having a good season. They are 3-5. They beat Kentucky last week on the road. They should have beaten Missouri the week before. I've had them the last 2 weeks. I got the push against Missouri, but that was should have been a win. And I got the win last week against Kentucky. But, I mean, this is a massive public dog, Vanderbilt, this week. They look at the line, they're like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. And look, I told you last week UCF being favored over BYU did not make sense. As it turns out, it didn't make sense because BYU throttled UCF, and I didn't win that one. But this is a pure system play. I'll buy the half point and take Auburn laying the 7. Indiana right now ranked, you know, what are they ranked? 12th, whatever they are, undefeated, 8-0. They're going back to Rourke, by the way, to start in East Lansing tomorrow against Michigan State. They can't make a number big enough to get people off Indiana. Last week, I had Washington getting points against them. It looked short. Washington actually hung in there. It was closer than the final score indicated, but Indiana is right now 7-1 against the number this year. Their only non-cover was their opening game of the year. They were 26-point favorites over Florida International, and they won by 24. They've been a covering machine. I'm going to go against them this week. I'm going to just take a flyer on Michigan State plus the 8 at home. You know, Sparty's played well. They beat Iowa at home a few weeks ago. They're a better team than I think most thought. They're 4-4. They are fighting for bowl eligibility in Smith's first year. I'm going to take Michigan State plus the 8 in that one. UCLA, the Fighting Eric Bieniemies, got some points last week. They scored 35 in their last outing, not last week, 2 weeks ago, at Rutgers, a team that's really failing. They were the last team, I think you pointed this out to me, Denton, to score 20 or more in college football. They're getting a shorter number at Nebraska after Nebraska looked really impressive at Ohio State. It's 6.5. I'll buy the half point and take the Bruins plus 7 in Lincoln. Florida State, I've been on the wrong side of them multiple times this year, and it may be another one that I'm on the wrong side of. I'm going to take them at home plus the 3 against North Carolina, who blew out Virginia last week. I mean, Florida State's 1-7. They're still fighting. I mean, they played Duke tough. They played Clemson tough. Carolina, you know, coming off a 27-point win in Charlottesville. Public likes the heels. I'll take the Noles. You know, and you knew this earlier in the week, that I was going to have South Carolina for the maximum allowed. Texas A&M, big emotional comeback win in College Station last week against LSU, and they're laying 3 in Columbia against South Carolina. Give me the Gamecocks plus the 3. By the way, they can really play some defense. That team can. Here's another line that just is weird. Pitt's an undefeated football team. The University of Pittsburgh, that is. They're 7-0. They are ranked high. They are playing on the road in Dallas against SMU. You talk about a neighborhood that's beautiful. Highland Park, University Park, Dallas. If you're ever in Dallas, just drive through that neighborhood and then drive to SMU, which is in that neighborhood. What a beautiful school that is. SMU's really good. Do you know they turn the ball over? You know this, Denton, as a college football host on the College Football Recap show on Sirius XM. They turned the ball over 6 times last week against Duke and won the game by a point. Has that ever happened? A team minus 6 in the turnover margin and won?
I'm sure it's happened before. It doesn't happen often. You don't want to live in that territory for too long.
SMU's laying 7 at home against Pitt. I'll take the favorite, the Mustangs, at home. And then Nevada plus 2 on Saturday against Colorado State. They're a 3-6 team. They've played 9 games already. Crazy. And there's sharp action, super sharp action on Nevada. Let's go to Sunday. I'm already 1-0 on the NFL this week. And we'll start in Jersey. So the Giants plus 4, you got to know this, right? You got to know that the Washington Commanders have become a favorite of the public bettor. And look, they have treated the bettors well. They are 6-1-1 this year against the number. The Giants are 2-5-1 against the number. Washington's one push was the Baltimore game. They were plus 7 in that game, and they lost by 7. And their only loss was Tampa in the opener, where they were getting 3.5-4, and they lost by 17. The world is on Washington Sunday. I don't love having the Giants. You know what my record is in games involving Washington over long, long stretches of time with this stupid smell test segment that I do. 64.5%. I'm 1-2, though, this year. 1-2 I had the Giants against them in week two and lost that. I had them as a winner against Cincinnati. And then I had Cleveland against them and lost that one. So I'm 1-2. I pulled the Panthers pick before. But I got to go Giants here, +4. It's a system pick. You know, on general principle, everybody, every bookmaker in on the planet is going to need New York to cover the 4. So Washington wins, you know, little 24-21 kind of a game, maybe. The Ravens are laying a hefty number to a team in Denver that's been playing well. And with Baltimore coming off a loss, believe it or not, the public likes the Broncos on the road Sunday at M&T Bank. I'll take Baltimore and lay the big number. The Dolphins are getting 6 at Buffalo. The Bills on a roll. Miami losing last week in Tua's return to Arizona. I'll take the Dolphins less than a touchdown, getting 6. The public thinks that number is short. And then Sunday night, Indy on the road. I think Minnesota's about to take a turn. You know, they've lost 2 in a row. The defense has given up some stuff in the last 2 games. Darnold is absolutely terrible under pressure. I think he's number 2 in the league in sack percentage. Just does not handle pressure well. They've got Flacco back on the field for this one. I'll take Indy +5.5 on Sunday night. So, tomorrow, Syracuse, Minnesota, Auburn, UCLA, Michigan State, Florida State, South Carolina, SMU, and Nevada. And then Sunday, the Giants, Ravens, Dolphins, and Colts. There's your smell test for week 10 in the overall football season, week 9 of the NFL season. Up next, we'll go around the league, talk about the big games for Sunday in the NFL. There's a big one Monday night as well at Arrowhead as the Chiefs try to stay undefeated. We'll get to that next. Denton's got a college football preview. We'll talk Ohio State, Penn State, and we'll have somebody on to talk Giants at 12:40. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980. And the-
you got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Team980.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.